And once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare today, and specifically demonic depression, demonic oppression, demonic infestation. And so we're going to take that up. First, I want to give you an update on what is going on in the ministry here. I'm in Kenya today, and we have been getting rains this week, so we're back into the short rain season. And so things are going well on the farm. We have a lot of crops planted, a lot of greens. We also have a lot of vegetables and fruit. We have bananas, we have papaya, we have avocados, we have lemons, and so all of these good fruits then are coming, and so we're able to feed the children. A lot of good stuff coming off the farm. In addition to that, we are building a nice home for the pastor of the new church, and it is attached to the new church. And so the home will be a place where he and his family can live, and they will be part of the security detail. In addition to pastoring the church, they'll be part of the security detail. That will help us keep the church secure, because we're in a area here in Kenya where there's lots of stealing and lots of insecurity, and so you kind of have to take responsibility for your own security. So before we get into the story of Legion, we're going to take a look at the nature of addiction, the nature of demonic oppression. And so we're going to look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, and it starts here. This is Jesus speaking. And it starts here, and he says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. And then he says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Well, let me stop right there, and we'll dissect these first two verses. The unclean spirit that Jesus is talking about is a demon spirit. He uses that term unclean spirit many times because these spirits were originally angels in heaven. These spirits originally were around the throne in heaven, and Jesus is very familiar with them. They are familiar with him. And so he calls this an unclean spirit, and he says, when this unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. Well, first of all, unclean spirits don't go out on their own. This person had to, in some way, be seeking God. In some way, this person had to be encountering a God encounter, what I would call a God encounter. He had to go to a revival meeting or a church meeting or have somebody pray over him, or in some way, he was seeking to have this unclean spirit removed from his life. And so the demon went out, he got cast out, and the demon went out into the waterless places, and he was seeking rest, but he finds none. Well, demons don't like to be hanging out on the street corner. Demons don't like to be walking along by themselves along the road, and so they're always looking for a home in a human being. That is their place of habitation. That is where they want to be. They desire to steal, kill, and destroy, and the only way that they can do that, or the best way they can do that, is they have to steal, kill, and destroy within a person, within the soul of a person, and so they become attached to the soul of the person. And so when they're out in the dry, waterless places, when they have been cast out, they immediately want to go back. They immediately want to go back into the home that they are familiar with, or the house, the person that they are familiar with. And so that is why Jesus says, then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. Well, that is a familiar spirit. That spirit is familiar with that person. That spirit is familiar with that person's history, with that person's heritage, with that person's lineage. And so that spirit wants to go back to that person where he is familiar with the habits and with the conditions and all of the circumstances of that person's life. And so he goes back there and he checks on this person to find out if it is safe or if it is possible for him to work himself back into that house. And so he says when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Well, what does Jesus mean? He finds it empty, swept, and put in order. He doesn't mean that there is no heart in that person, that there's no kidneys, there's no lungs, there's no bladder. What he means is there is no Holy Spirit, there is no Spirit of the living God within that person to keep that demon out. Beloved, if you are struggling with addictions, you're struggling with bad habits, things that discourage you and bring you down, things that depress you, you have to get filled up with the Holy Spirit of God. You have to get filled up with the power of God. And then when the demons come knocking on your door and they come poking around looking for a way to get into your domicile, looking for a way to get into your house, then the power of God is there to keep them out, to kick them out, to keep them out, and to seal up the entry points so that they can't keep coming in and make a torment of your life. They can't keep coming in and say the house isn't occupied. When they come to look, they will find the holy power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and that living power, that living God that is within you, keeps the house fortified. It keeps the house buttressed. It is a strong tower. The Lord says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. And when the righteous run in, and when the power of God runs in, then the demons can't just come and go as they please and cause wreckage and cause torment and damage when they come into the house. So he comes, he looks at the house, and he finds it empty. The heart is there, the kidneys, the lungs are there, but there's no Holy Spirit, and the house looks like it's in order. You know, sometimes your hair is combed, and sometimes you have your shirt tucked in, and sometimes everything looks like it's in order. But a lot of times people aren't in order, even though from the outside they look like they may be. People come out of addiction treatment, out of rehab centers. They've hung their cup on the wall and they've got their hair combed. Their family is there to greet them and hoping for the best for a new start. Everything looks like it's swept and put in order. But as soon as they go home, within 3 months or a few months, they're back to drinking again or back to doing drugs again with their friends. Well, why is that? How does that happen when everything looks so good? It's because they are empty. Everything looks swept. Everything looks like it's in order, but they are empty. They don't have the power of God in them. They don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And just chanting slogans or praying to some unknown identity or praying to some unknown God will never get them the power they're looking for to keep the demons out and to keep their house filled up with the power of God. There's only one thing that is going to keep them filled up with the power of God, and that is the power of God. That is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that resides within you when you call on Jesus, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you repent and are baptized and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God, then the Spirit of truth that teaches you the truth in all things, that will teach you the truth even of those things yet to come. John 16, verse 13, it will teach you the truth of how to keep those demons out of your life, how to keep those demons out and keep your house not just swept and put in order, but filled with the power of God. Greater is he that is in you than that little he that is in the world. And when you have that greater power in you, the power of Jehovah God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Counselor, the Advocate, advocating for you against the devil, then you are going to be successful and you are going to keep that cup hanging on the wall and you're not going to be suffering torment of the devil year in and year out. So here's what happens when he comes back. When the demon spirit comes back, this is what happens to the man or the woman that he is looking at. Well, in verse 45, it says, then he, the unclean spirit, goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Wow, this is getting bad fast. He takes seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. Well, when the unclean spirit comes back to check to see if he can come in, there's no guard, there's no power in the house to keep him out. And so he comes and he sees everything is okay for him to come in. He goes and gets seven of his buddies and they come in. And now there's eight people, eight demon spirits, not people, eight demon spirits in that person. And so the last state, the final state of that man is much worse than the first by eightfold. Well, you can see if this process duplicates itself two or three times, now you have 8 times 7 would be 56, and 56 times 7 would be 350-something or 370-something, and then you multiply those 300 and whatever by 7, and now you have over 2,000, and now we are understanding how it is that Legion, in the story of Legion in Mark chapter 5, we're going to be looking at that here in a minute. Now you can understand how it's possible for people to have multiple demons possessing them, multiple demons oppressing them and tormenting them and taking them to a place where they are not recognized, taking them to a place where their mental facility, their mental faculties are completely destroyed. They have no social functioning capabilities. And so this is the place of Legion in Mark chapter 5. And so this person started out probably as a normal type person, a socially functioning person, and now they are oppressed by over 2,000 demons. And we'll take up this story here as we look at the story of Legion in Mark chapter 5. Well, in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, then they came to the other side of the sea, that is Jesus and the disciples, and to the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Well, it should more accurately state that he had many unclean spirits. But the man was dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains, and he was in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Well, this is a picture of a person that is terribly oppressed, that is terribly demonically oppressed and possessed. And so this is also a picture of a person who is addicted to many drugs or terribly addicted to drugs and has no hold on his life. The drugs are whiplashing him. The drugs are dragging him around and tormenting him and beating him up. He's stealing from his family. He's stealing from his closest friends. And so people get to this situation because the unclean spirits have totally taken over their body. They've taken over their soul. They've taken over their thinking capacity. And so their behavior is very bizarre. Their behavior is very tormented. And so I might be speaking to somebody out there today. You're looking for a lifeline. You're looking for somebody to throw you a lifeline. You're in behavior that is very bizarre. You're in behavior that is not of your desire and not of your control. And so if that is you today, the lifeline to you today is Jesus Christ. The lifeline to you today is the Holy Spirit of the living God, but you have to submit yourself to Him. It's not a regimen. It's not a protocol. It's the living God and Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit that will come and take up residence within your living body. Well, this man was out in the tombs. He was living in a cemetery, and he was cutting himself with stones, crying out, similar to many teenagers today, or not just teenagers, but many people today who are cutting themselves with razor blades, cutting themselves because they're in despair, they're in depression. The devil has a hold on their life. The devil has a hold on their mind. And so they're giving blood sacrifice to the devil through cutting. And so this is a pretty typical thing in America today. Well, in verse 6, when this man saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Well, you might ask, how in the world can this guy who is so far off the beaten path and so tormented, how could he run and worship Jesus? How did he even know who Jesus was? Well, beloved, if you remember, I said that these demon spirits were in heaven at one time. They were in heaven with Jesus. Satan himself was a worship leader. You can go read about it in Ezekiel 28 or in Isaiah chapter 14. You can go read about the fall of Satan. But at one time he was Lucifer, the shining one, the Lucifer of heaven. He was one of the anointed angels leading worship in heaven, and yet he rebelled against God. He willfully chose to rebel against God, and so he was thrown down out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw the devil fall like lightning from heaven. And so Jesus cast him out, and it happened quickly. He fell like lightning. And you know, a lightning strike is a instantaneous thing. It doesn't last very long. That's how long it took for Jesus to throw the devil out of heaven. And so this man knew Jesus. He recognized him, and he went and ran and worshiped him. He ran and worshiped him because he understood the power of Jesus Christ. And he cried out in verse 7 with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Well, he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He already knew his name, and he implored him, or he begged him, by God, do not torment me. I have a guy here in the town I live in Kenya, that is a crazy man. I've prayed for him a few times. He's allowed me to lay my hands on him and pray for him. He walks up and down the street every day. That's all he does. Walk up and down the sidewalk every day. And he acts like he's preaching. I don't know what he's preaching. I don't know what he's saying, because he's preaching in Luya language. But he acts like he's preaching. But he is tormented. His posture and his facial expressions and everything about him shows that he is tormented. But I have been walking by him for about a year now, and sometimes he allows me to lay my hands on him, and he knows that I'm a man of God. He recognizes the power within me. And so after I started laying hands on him, his hair was very crazy and very dirty, and he got his hair cut. It's now very close shaven, like most of the African men around here. And also, he started to wear clean clothes. He started to wear nice clothes. And so there's changes. And still, when he walks by me, he stops. And a lot of times he'll let me put my hands on him and pray for him. And slowly but surely, the demons are being cast out of him. And slowly but surely, he's starting to become more normal in his behavior and his social functions. And so in verse 8, Jesus said to the man, come out of the man, unclean spirit. That's what Jesus said. He commanded the unclean spirits to come out of him. Well, beloved, if you are in a place where unclean spirits are dominating your behavior and unclean spirits are dragging you around and tormenting you, you need to seek the Lord. You need to seek somebody that can lay hands on you and pray for you, anoint you with oil, and cast those demons out in the name of Jesus. Or you need to go to a church, sit on the back row if that's the only place you feel comfortable, and go to Jesus, just like this man. He ran to Jesus and he worshiped him. You need to run to Jesus. That may be your only hope. If you're a drug addicted, you may be in the jaws of death right now. You may be in the clutches of death. Any time you could go, and that is true really for anybody, but people that are messing around with drugs, it's a lot more dangerous and precarious situation. And so Jesus said, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he answered and he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Well, that was the demon talking, the head demon. My name is Legion, for we are many. Well, when many demons go into a person, they're controlled by a head demon. There is an entry order or an entry protocol that the head demon controls, and he allows other demons in, and he allows other demons to take over that man. And so there's a hierarchy, you might say, and the head demon, his name was Legion. Well, why did he say Legion? Because a legion of Roman soldiers was supposedly 2,000 or more soldiers. And so this demon was calling himself Legion because there was 2,000 or more unclean spirits in this man. And so this man begged Jesus not to send him out of the country. And then in verse 11, a very curious thing here is that a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. And so the demons begged Jesus, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000 pigs there. And the herd ran violently down the steep place or down the slope into the sea. And they drowned in the sea. And so those then who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. And here was the final result, verse 15. They came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Well, beloved, that is a miracle. Beloved, that is the power of God working in the life of a person who is demon oppressed and demon possessed. And it's not too often that you hear about or find out about a person that has 2,000 demons, but this is certainly a true story in God's Word. If you are demon oppressed or demon possessed, and you know that your behavior is bizarre, you know that your behavior is being dictated by drug use, alcohol use, or other substances that are making a wreck out of your life and creating havoc in your life, you need to run and worship Jesus. You need to cry out to him. You need to say, Jesus, I repent of my sins. I don't have the power to get away from this stuff on my own. I don't have the ability. If willpower could cure me, I would be cured, but I don't have the willpower to do anything to get away from this stuff. And if you do that, if you submit yourself and humble yourself, you don't need 12 steps, you don't need 10 steps, you don't need 8 steps, you just need one step. Repent and be baptized. Come to the Lord. Let Jesus Christ take over your life. Let the Holy Spirit counsel you. Let the Holy Spirit of God walk with you and abide with you and counsel you, and you will be cleansed just like this person. You will be sitting and clothed in your right mind, and you will be set free from the demonic oppression, from the behavior that is causing you to sin. You will be set free from it by the power of the living God. Well, it sounds simple. In a way, it is simple. It's a battle, though, and you will be in a battle. But when you keep calling on the Lord, when you keep crying out to Jesus, when you keep abiding and listening to the Holy Spirit, you will be set free from your tormenting behavior. That is a promise from the living God. And you can read this story yourself in Mark chapter 5. And if you keep reading it and keep believing it is possible for you to have this kind of deliverance if you keep believing that and keep speaking the word of Jesus over your demonic oppression. You will be set free. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank you again for listening today. Thank you for your prayers, for your support. We want to hear from you. Sit down, jot us out a letter, sit down, email pureprairie@hotmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd like to have you join in supporting this great ministry, the projects we have going in Africa, and you can do that, and we would appreciate that. The Lord will bless you, and you will know that you're supporting a ministry that is changing the world for the kingdom of God. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.